tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 15th of June 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today's quite a momentous day, really, when you think about it. We've just had an announcement by Prime Minister Keir Starmer on the news that he is going to be banning social media for under-16s, but not all social media. He's only going to be banning 10 social media sites such as X, Facebook, YouTube, sites which over the last few years have made public statements about how they were censoring right-wing views in the past and that now they are more inclined to support free speech. All of those websites have been or will be banned for under-16-year-olds. But at the same time, Blue Sky, a notorious left-wing social media site, is they're still going to be allowed to view that one. And when you bear in mind that the reason why they are saying these social media sites need to be banned for under-16s is because of paedophile predators on there that are preying on young children, when you look at Blue Sky, it's full of paedophiles who openly say so in their bios under their name. It will say minor attracted person. It looks like they all fled there from X when Elon Musk took over on Twitter. People may remember before Elon Musk took over on Twitter, there was a policy that criticism of paedophilia was hate speech and you could be kicked off of Twitter for being critical of pedophiles, and you had people on there who had said that they were minor attracted persons under their name. And when Elon Musk took over, he banned all of those accounts. So all of those accounts then moved over to Blue Sky, where they're openly operating, and Blue Sky has apparently been left out of the social media companies that Keir Starmer wants to ban young people from looking at. So it looks really as if the reason for this ban is because Keir Starmer doesn't want youngsters to be reading right-wing comment or criticism of politicians. Well, I have an article from the mainstream media here that we're going to look at which discusses this, and this comes from GB News. The headline is, "Left-wing social media network could be exempt from Keir Starmer's mass internet clampdown." And in fact, we know that it is exempt now. As I say, it's just been on the news that it is exempt. And another suspicious thing about this is that it all seems to be happening at the same time, doesn't it? Australia has banned social media. Now Britain are going to ban social media and other countries are looking at banning social media. And social media has been around for about 15 years, I think, maybe even longer than that. And it's only now that they've decided that they want to ban children from viewing it. I would say it's highly suspicious that it happens just as at the time when you're starting to see more right-wing comment on social media. And by the fact that they are not banning Blue Sky, that implies that the real reason for this banning of social media for under-16s is they don't want to see controversial political content. And I would suggest what would be more effective to be banned would be to be banning smartphone use from young mothers. And it's a known fact that when mothers are distracted by smartphones and they're not making eye contact with their children, they're not taking part in what their children are doing, that the children end up emotionally stunted. And I've seen this happen. I've been out in public and I've seen young mothers there with their smartphones with two children around them. The two children are playing together and the mother's just engrossed in the smartphone. And you just tell that she's distracted by the smartphone rather than being distracted by what her children are doing. I mean, she should be interacting with the children, not interacting with the smartphone. And I think the end results of that are far more damaging than social media's effect on youngsters. Yes, it does mean that they are more at risk of predators, but it also means that they've got a social media network there of friends that they may not have locally. I mean, they may be at school, they may be bullied at school, may find it difficult to make friends at school, but online they could have a network of friends that they speak to on these social media sites that may be from different areas. And it means that kids that are like that, it means that you're cutting off a lifeline for them. You're cutting off all their friends from them. But I guess one possibly unforeseen effect of this could be that these 16-year-olds, when they are allowed to vote, that they vote for right-wing parties because they're so disgusted at Labour as taking their social media from them. In Scotland, 16-year-olds can vote. I think in Wales, 16-year-olds can vote now. And I think under Labour, they were making it so that 16-year-olds can vote. And it may be that 16-year-olds massively, overwhelmingly vote for parties like Reform and Restore, who disagree with social media being banned from them. So let's see what GB News has to say about it. Left-wing social media site Blue Sky could be made exempt from Sir Keir Starmer's mass internet clampdown. The Prime Minister is expected to announce an Australia-style social media ban for more than 12 million under-16s today, which he says will protect children. Under the plans, far tougher than previously reported, Britons will have their internet access limited by the government on a hand-picked series of websites. These are expected to include TikTok, Instagram, Threads, Facebook, X, YouTube, Snapchat, and Reddit. And of course, there have been these accusations that all of those websites pretty much allow right-wing content. I'm not so sure about Snapchat and Instagram, but definitely TikTok, Facebook, X, YouTube. Not so sure about Threads. I'm not sure anybody really uses Threads. But these other websites here, they have had spokesmen who have spoken out, basically, against the censorship that was going on under the Joe Biden government and their support for free speech under the Donald Trump administration. Blue Sky, the left-leaning rival to X, looks set to escape a ban. And as I said, I've been on Twitter this morning, and people there are posting images of accounts that are on Blue Sky that literally have minor attracted person in the little bit under their name that people can see. So they feel quite safe at letting other people know on Blue Sky that they are pedophiles. So that, I mean, that shows you that it's a website that's safe for pedophiles. So for them not to be included in this ban, it really does show you that this ban, its motive is not to protect children from pedophiles. Last year, the platform, that's Blue Sky, partnered with the Internet Watch Foundation after it experienced a, quote, predictable uptick, close quote, in child sexual abuse material when its membership numbers grew. I say that, I mean, that's very probably likely to Elon Musk when he got rid of all these pedophiles from Twitter. They all moved over to Blue Sky, where apparently they appear to be quite safe. Discord, a gaming-oriented messaging platform, has also not been included in the preliminary list. Discord is run by Antifa. Newer nationalists might not be aware, but over the years, there have been various info dumps and doxing of chat rooms on Discord by the people that own Discord themselves, basically doxing right-wing people that are on there. It used to be known, if you're right-wing, if you're free speech, if you're a nationalist, do not use Discord. They will dox your information. They will give your information to Antifa. They'll make it public. So just don't use them. So again, you've got another left-leaning site which hasn't been included. An NBC News probe had previously identified hundreds of active Discord servers promoting child exploitation, revelations which its CEO described as horrifying. So there, once again, we have the proof that pedophiles operate on this platform. And it's not just that the public are making these accusations. It's been identified by various different sources that pedophiles are on there. And youngsters are not being banned from looking at that. Sources have told The Guardian that the government may face a threat of judicial review if it bans some platforms and not others. Well, yes, because it means that there's no longer a level playing field if the government are going to ban some companies and not others. So they could be open to this. They could be open to serious fines over this, I should imagine. The Sunday Times reported the ban covers the same 10 platforms barred for under-16s in Australia. TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, Reddit, Twitch, X, Threads, Facebook and Kick. Ministers will rule on which specific platforms face an under-16 ban at a later date. Well, they sort of officially said it today that it will be the same. Critics have raised fears of censorship, authoritarianism and a two-tier social media system. Reem Ibrahim of the Reason Foundation think tank warned the UK is banning under-16s from social media under the guise of protecting kids, but it will not include Blue Sky. Is this simply overt political censorship? While one MP told The Guardian, are we giving votes to 16-year-olds but banning them from watching the election results on YouTube? Well, they're effectively banning them from seeing all sorts of political commentary and seeing what's going on in the world. If you're banning them from YouTube and Twitter, it means that they're likely to only get their information from the schools. I mean, that's clearly what the government is hoping. They want to be the sole providers of information to children. They want to be the arbiters of truth, as it were. That's the reason why they're doing this. But it also means that the youngsters that have VPNs, they'll still have access to all of this. And the ones that don't, they'll be limited. So, I mean, that sort of implies that people that have VPNs, they will be used to using the internet ecosystem. They will be tech savvy, as it were, once they get to 18. And the ones that were not able to use the internet up to that time, they will not be tech savvy. They will be naive and they will be likely to be ripped off and all sorts of things that could happen to them if they're unaware of how to use social media once they get to 18. I really think this is a case of the horse has already bolted. You cannot close the barn door now or get the genie back in the bottle without causing all sorts of other problems. There will also be restrictions for older teenagers up to the age of 18 which prevent scrolling late at night. I mean, how are they going to do that? Are they going to put pressure on the tech companies to ban people from looking at one subject after another? And that's what you do, isn't it? You read one piece of information, you move on to the next piece of information that the algorithm has found for you. I don't see what, and however long you spend doing that, surely that is up to the person to determine how long they want to spend reading this information. I read it in the morning while I have my breakfast, and that's about it. And I scroll through X when I have the time to, and I'm busy doing other things for the rest of the day. Surely the fact that they will have other things to do will prevent them from doing that. And if they're doing that all the time, well, they won't work, will they? And they'll just be on a low amount of money that they get in benefits. I don't think it's a good idea to be telling people how long they can spend looking at information online. It's up to them to make that decision. A public consultation on the clampdown received about 116,000 responses, making it the second largest in history. Some 91% of parents backed a minimum age of 16 before platforms can offer their services to children. However, parents were asked at what age a social media ban should be lifted, not whether one should exist or not. I mean, that's really deceptive, because it's saying, well, if there is a media ban in place already, what age should we lift it at? Not should we ban social media from youngsters? Why didn't they just ask the straight question? I think possibly because they weren't certain that they would get the right answer. The answers overwhelmingly chose 16 from a possible list of options that were 13, 16, 18, and I don't know. And I think people would be looking at that and saying, well, if it had been banned when it first came out, At what age should we allow children to use it now that we know what social media is? Well, 16 would be a good age. And that's a reasonable thing to say. But to say, oh, I think social media, to extrapolate from that, that 90% of people want to see social media banned for under 16-year-olds, and that's very deceptive, because that's not what the survey results show. And ahead of his Downing Street press conference today, Sir Keir said, "How we keep kids safe online is one of the biggest debates of our time. As a dad, I know every parent wants their child to grow up safe and happy. This is a choice about whose side we are on, families across the country, or a status quo that isn't working. People rightly expect action, and this government will always stand up for parents and put children first." So I don't think they are putting children first here. I think they will be alienating a lot of children whose friendship group will be on social media. And it's effectively the government saying, I'm going to ban you from seeing your friends. "That's why we will call time on a system that is failing our kids and take bold action to give every child the best possible start in life." And there's also the fact that some of the parents that lobbied the government to do this, their children ended up dying because they went on suicide websites telling them how to commit suicide. And suicide websites aren't on the social media ban list, are they? I'm not so sure that it's social media that's caused these problems. I think more likely problems are caused by children not having a very good relationship with their parents, so they don't tell them what they're looking at. I mean, surely children are told if not to take a picture of yourself if anybody asks you that online. I mean, surely that must, you know, that must be drilled into children's heads that they're not to take pictures of themselves with a camera and share them with anybody online. I mean, if children stuck to that, then there wouldn't be this problem of pedophiles getting children to show them naked pictures of themselves. That just wouldn't be able to happen if kids were taught not to take any pictures of yourself. So I think there are other reasons for these problems other than it being the social media that they're using. I think the real reason for this ban on social media is because of the criticism of politicians that there is on there. "Calls for a ban are almost overwhelming, with even the Conservatives falling into line on demands for more restrictions. Tory Shadow Education Secretary Laura Trott said it was shameful that it had taken Labour so long to ban social media. She bristled. 3 times Labour voted against a ban, failing to stand up to big tech and protect children from the extreme content they are exposed to every day." So what does she mean there? Extreme content. So what they mean there is extremist content. What that is, I mean, that could just be anti-immigration rhetoric, can be considered to be extreme content if you look at government documents about this. So, I mean, she's being open there that the reason why that what they're doing is they're trying to, quote unquote, protect children from nationalist content. Also, bear in mind that it was the Conservatives that brought in the Online Safety Act, and now you have Labour bringing in the banning of social media. And both things aren't should not be seen in isolation from one another. They should both be looked at as big state censorship, effectively. Sir Keir's would-be replacement in number 10, Wes Streeting, has said a ban must be the start and not the end, adding that social media should be treated like tobacco. Mr. Streeting's intervention came alongside a report from the Academy of Medical Royal Colleges, which also compared social media to smoking. I mean, that just really shows you how corrupt academia has become. Because what they've done is they've said, we want your result to be this. We want your result to be that social media is very, very harmful. So can you do a study that proves that, please? And they've come up with social media compares to smoking, which is absolutely ridiculous. Social media is not going to give you lung cancer or cause you to die a very painful death. That report said there was overwhelming consensus among its members that there was a link between using devices and health harms. But the same report acknowledged the evidence for this was, in fact, minimal. So there's actually very little evidence for it, but they decided to make a study anyway so that they could back up the government's plans to ban social media, or at least that's what I suspect happened. Christopher Snowden of the Institute of Economic Affairs has long warned that trying to ban social media for under-16s leads to a minority of kids not using social media, thereby becoming even less popular and more ostracised, while the majority use VPNs and unregulated apps. And this is the point that YouTube have made. They've said, well, all this is going to do is drive children into using video sharing websites that are not regulated in the same way that YouTube is. You know, that's quite an accurate, correct thing for them to say, because they are literally just banning these 10 websites and saying, well, you can use anything else. So any other social media they can find, they can use. He added, politicians want to ban social media because people are rude to them on it. The old media wants to ban it because it is competition. They will not stop with the under-16s. Resist it while you can. And talking about there, where it says people are rude to them on it. I mean, recently, the British government got Elon Musk to shut down Grok, the artificial intelligence bot that they have on Twitter. And they said that the reason for this is because Grok is allowing users to make naked images of children. And that isn't what was happening at all. Grok was being used to make pictures of Keir Starmer and other politicians in bikinis, in swimsuits. That's what was going on. And they sold that to the public as, oh, Grok is being used to make naked images of children with. And all it was doing is mocking politicians. I really don't see that it's any different to somebody just drawing a picture. I mean, you might as well say, well, we're not allowed to have pens and paper because you might draw a rude picture of the Prime Minister on it. I mean, that's all the AI was being used for. It was being used to make rude images of politicians. So this is not a good thing that this is being banned from under-16-year-olds, but it could mean that it radicalises a lot of these under-16-year-olds, and when they do get to 16, they vote against Labour, and hopefully against the Conservatives as well, for supporting it. Well, we've also had Nigel Farage in the news over the weekend, and I've been quite impressed with Nigel Farage recently. When he was in the Houses of Parliament after the Henry Novak protests, he refused to condemn the protests, even though there was a lot of noise behind him demanding that he condemn the violence. He refused to condemn the protests and said that the protests will get worse unless the government answers the protests and stops the two-tier policing and the two-tier system and investigates it. Unless something is done about it, the protests will get worse. So I was very impressed with him for actually saying it. And it does appear as if Rupert Lowe's Restore are pushing reform in the right direction, at least. They are becoming more radical, I guess, as they are trying to keep their members from moving to Restore. And he said something good over the weekend as well. And this article actually comes from the Daily Telegraph. Farage, I will evict foreign nationals from council housing. Migrants will be given 3 months to find private accommodation or face being deported under reform leaders' plans. But I suspect the problem with that will be once they face being deported, they'll say that they're homeless, they're unable to find anywhere. I mean, how are you going to get them out of the house? And also the council will then say, well, they're going to be made homeless. We therefore have to find somewhere for them. So I can see that there's going to be difficulties in implementing this. In a new Substack essay, and that's interesting in itself that Nigel Farage is using Substack. More and more people seem to be using Substack now in the alternative media, effectively. It was part of the alternative media. Is it now part of the mainstream media, I wonder? In a new Substack essay being published at 8 p.m. on Sunday, Mr. Farage vowed that veterans and long-term local residents would instead be given priority, along with domestic abuse survivors and care leavers, non-UK citizens who failed to find private accommodation after his three-month grace period would lose their right to remain under reforms plans. How many of these people are actually non-UK citizens, though? I mean, what about the people that are of migrant heritage that are in these council houses and stopping the Indigenous Britons from getting in them? He's not actually saying those people would be removed, whereas Restore are saying that those people would also be removed. The Telegraph understands that dual nationals who hold both British and foreign citizenship would have their welfare entitlement, including housing benefit, reduced, but would not be automatically forced to leave social housing. Well, why not? Why are they being allowed to stay? The policy suggests Reform is hardening its position on immigration before the Makerfield by-election on Thursday, where polling indicates it is losing support to Restore Britain. And there have been lots of attack pieces on Restore Britain over the weekend. The mainstream media really got it in for Restore Britain. And it does look as if lots of people are leaving Reform and moving to Restore. And because of that, Restore are being able to push the Overton window, and they're having this influence on Reform, pushing them further towards the right, further towards a stronger nationalist stance, which is very good. If you look at it from that, if you look at it from the view of, oh, it's splitting the vote, well, maybe it's not so good. But if you look at it as the view as, well, it's pushing Reform to be much further towards the right than they would have been otherwise, then it's a very positive influence. Mr. Farage is launching his monthly Substack newsletter with a 5,000-word essay on diversity, equity and inclusion and its effect on Britain. He said thousands of social tenancies had been given to refugees since 2020 and described that as an absurdity, vowing to prioritise British nationals for social homes. Well, I guess it's probably into the millions, though, of people of migrant heritage that have been prioritised and given somewhere to live. Because, of course, once they have British citizenship, once they have the right to remain, they can then say, oh, well, I don't speak English. Nobody's going to rent a house to me because I don't speak English. And the council worker is going to look at that and they're going to say, well, he's correct. He's going to have difficulty in finding a private place to rent. Therefore, he's vulnerable. Therefore, we need to find him somewhere to live. This is the reason why these houses are being given to them, because they're being considered vulnerable simply because they're not British. It's being seen that if you're of British ethnicity, then you're going to find it easier to rent somewhere from somebody else of British ethnicity. And this is the reason why they're giving them these council houses in the first place. So that needs to stop. They need to stop seeing them as vulnerable if they're part of a if they're of migrant heritage and don't speak English. So they should not be seen as vulnerable. They should be seen as, well, they shouldn't be here then if they're of migrant heritage and don't speak English. Foreign nationals who are unable to relocate to private rented accommodation after a three-month grace period will lose their right to remain and be liable for deportation under Operation Restoring Justice, he wrote. Residency and preference requirements for social housing will be used to ensure that veterans and long-term local residents will be preferenced for social housing, with exceptions only for groups like domestic abuse survivors and care leavers. Now, it's interesting that he says long-term local residents. Does he mean people that are sort of two or three generations in the same area? In which case, this is implicitly a pro-white policy, because people that have lived in an area for two or three generations are most likely going to be white, because the country was 99.9% white until the end of World War II. After World War II, or does he just mean local residents, in which case it's not so implicitly white, because you have people like Khan, Mayor Khan, Sadiq Khan of London, claiming he's a Londoner, when he's quite clearly of Pakistani heritage. He's not a generational Londoner at all, yet he considers himself a Londoner. He considers himself to be local to London. So is that right? Why they are saying long-term local residents rather than just local residents? Is this implicitly pro-white? Well, I hope so. Mr. Farage claimed that guidelines in place for housing associations have led to a redistribution of housing stock away from the white British populations who originally inhabited areas. And that's great. He's saying that the guidelines need to be changed. This is systemic, basically. And the redistribution of the housing stock has caused the white British population to flee areas, to flee from entire areas, because they started to be filled up with people that were non-British. It's a natural survival instinct to want to live among your own kind. it's regardless of what kind you are, whether you're, you know, whether you're black, whether you're Chinese, whether you're Muslim, whether you're British. People want to live alongside people of their own ethnicity. It's a completely natural thing to feel. And this is the reason why we have white flight. And this is one of the reasons why diversity can never work. And it's good that he's using the word white as well. I mean, this is certainly a step up for Nigel Farage to start using the word white. The Reform leader added that the outflow from social housing has been mirrored in the dismantling of communities. And he said he would set out plans to reverse the trend. So he's saying that the people leaving the white flight effectively has destroyed the community, and he's going to reverse that. So he's saying he's going to reverse white flight, which is very positive. Mr. Farage also claimed that a third of social tenants in London were born outside the UK and Ireland, and cited the recent case of the First Lady of Sierra Leone renting a council flat. I mean, both of those sentences are quite shocking. A third of the council house tenants in London were not even born in Britain. So it's not like, oh, they're a British citizen, but they're of migrant heritage. They're just of migrant heritage. And they weren't even born in Britain. And they've been given a council flat. And even the First Lady of Sierra Leone rents a council flat. Last week, Southwark Council repossessed the property of Fatima Jabi Bio, who had been a tenant since 2007, after a local authority investigation. Was she living over there in Sierra Leone? I mean, who was occupying her house in Britain? Mr. Farage added that, and also, I mean, she must be getting housing benefit for that as well. So while she was the First Lady of Sierra Leone, she must have been getting housing benefit to pay the rent for her flat in London. Mr. Farage added that during the last century, rules which gave priority to local people and ties to the area were stripped away, in part on the grounds that they discriminated against Britain's newly diverse population, only to be reimposed in part only after massive disruption to the social fabric of these areas. So we had a policy that you had to be local to the area to get the council house, and they said, well, this means that all these new black people that have arrived, they're not going to get council houses. That's discrimination. You have to change that. Of course, that's what's led to this. And of course, anyone can see how unfair it is that the social housing that was built by ethnic British ancestors is now being given to people who have nothing whatsoever to do with that ethnicity, that are not the descendants of the people that built those houses. In a 2024 report, the Migration Observatory said that 1 in 10 new social housing lettings in the 22-23 financial year had a non-UK citizen as the lead tenant, adding this was most likely down to the rising share of non-UK citizens in the population. 10% of the council houses have got somebody in there who is not even a British citizen, not even someone with a bit of paper saying they're British, let alone somebody who was born in Britain, and certainly not somebody whose ancestors were British. The report added that according to census data, 7% of people living in social housing in 2021 had a non-UK passport, compared to 5% of people in 2011. So that's increased by about 30%. A source close to Steve Reed, the housing secretary, hit out at the proposals, saying Farage knows there is no way of this happening without establishing a Trump ICE-style deportation police force in the UK, something he will presumably be trialling in Manchester, should he win the mayoralty election. Well, we can live in hope, can't we? He continued, if he thinks Brits look at American politics longingly, or that it is credible to make massive unfunded spending commitments, then he is dead wrong. Well, I think people do look at American politics, and they do look at what's being done there to stop the illegal immigration, and they do want something similar done in Britain. That's the reason why people support reform in the first place. And we have a little table here as well. It says, socially rented homes with head of a household born outside UK, and it's 47% in London. So almost half the council housing in London has somebody in it who was not even born in Britain, let alone has got British ancestors. Reform has claimed it would deport around 600,000 migrants over 5 years under Operation Restoring Justice, which was set out last year. Well, that seems like a much smaller number than is actually required, doesn't it? I mean, Rupert Lowe from Restore, he says millions must go. And if a reformer talking about deporting 600,000 migrants, that's probably not even all the illegal immigrants that have come to the country. At a press conference in April, Mr. Farage pledged to revoke up to 400,000 refugees' rights to asylum and send them home if they entered the UK illegally. Well, that only leaves 200,000 left. And if London, 50% of London, is being taken up by people that aren't even born in Britain, that's certainly going to be a lot more than 200,000 people just in London alone. So his numbers don't quite add up, do they? Reform has previously announced that it would abolish indefinite leave to remain, scrapping migrants' rights to qualify for permanent settlement in the UK after 5 years. Again, that's a good policy. That would mean migrants from countries outside the EU whose citizens have protected settled status would have to reapply for visas. The party has made it clear that it would not deport children in migrant families who were born in Britain and are therefore British nationals. Well, I would say it doesn't mean they're British nationals. It means they're British citizens. That's all it means. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't change your ancestry. It does not change your ethnicity. And your ethnicity is your nationality, really. A nation comes from the word natal. It means birth. People that are part of a nation all share their ancestors. They all share their birth mother, effectively. They all go back in the same place, through the same mother, through the same birth. That's what nationality means. That's what a nation is. It's ethnicity. So what they really mean here is that people who are born in Britain and are British citizens, therefore, because of that, they're not going to deport them. But he has not stated publicly what would happen to their parents. But of course, he'll have to keep the parents there, won't he? He's not going to put the children in care. The policy announcement comes after Zia Yousaf, Reform's Home Affairs spokesman, and Robert Jenrick, the Treasury spokesman, and Robert Jenrick is the former immigration MP for the Conservative Party, clashed over deportation policy last month. In an interview on Sky News, Mr. Jenrick claimed foreign nationals would not exclusively face deportation because they lived in council accommodation. But Mr. Yousaf said his comments were not Reform policy, adding, if a foreign national lives in social housing at taxpayer expense, they automatically fail our economic test and will be deported. As I say, I think this is a response to the Restore Party, who have said that if anybody lives in a council house, they're of migrant heritage and they are claiming benefits or they don't speak English, they will be removed from the council house. Which, of course, has set the whole establishment against Restore for saying that. But a lot of people are leaving Reform to join Restore because of this, and this is pushing Reform to the right. So this is a good policy from Nigel Farage, but I doubt whether he would actually keep to it. Now, I don't doubt that Rupert Lowe would do his very best to keep to all the things that he has been saying. And I think Reform are probably just saying this to get votes, because as was pointed out here, you would have to set up an organisation like ICE to remove these people. And what if they say, well, we're just going to stay here in the house, we're not going to move? I think a much better policy would be to offer incentives as well as to get them to move, and also to make the environment less hospitable to them, which is what Restore want to do. They say, well, we're going to get rid of all these translation services. Either you speak English or you don't. We're certainly not going to pay for a translator for you. And Restore have said they're going to get rid of the laws against free speech. They'll get rid of the section from the Public Order Act. They'll get rid of the section from the Communications Act. And if you were just to do those two things and get rid of this policy of racially aggravated, I mean, a crime is a crime. It doesn't matter what the motive is for it. A crime is a crime. Everybody should be treated the same. We should all be equal under the law. When you have something like racially aggravated, that means that white people get more of a sentence than black people. All of these things Restore have said they are going to get rid of. That's the main difference between them and Reform. But even if Reform Do get in. I shall still be pleased. And this, what I think we will see in Makerfield, I think we will see a massive win for Reform, and I think we'll see Restore come in second place. That's what I'm hoping for, and that really will shake the establishment. Anyway, good news there from Nigel Farage. So thank you very much. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.